It's time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes, defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Here are your hosts, Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back to Mitten Madness. This is a little bit of a different show. As you hear, I'm doing the intro again, so you know what that means. Jacob is not here in studio, but don't worry. I'm not flying solo this week. Jacob is taking the day off as this is his last day with his kids for the summer before he drives them back to Alabama for the school year. In his place, we have a very special guest filling in for him today is none other than Braden Fork, the son of our wonderful Mary Fork here. How you doing, Braden?
Good.
What are your plans for the weekend?
Probably mostly swim. And then I'm going to my grandma's on Sunday for a week, so that's going to be fun.
Nothing like spending time at your grandma's house. We're going to be diving into plenty this week. With Braden here, he's a big baseball guy. He plays for one of the travel teams here in Kalamazoo. So we're going to make sure that we dive into plenty of baseball. We're going to start with some NFL preseason. And if we have time, we'll dive into some other things happening around the state before we get into our picks like always. I'm going to be headed to Baltimore this weekend and going to be taking in some lacrosse and enjoying some great seafood. So
that's nice.
That's my plans for the weekend. Of course, watching some Olympics as well. So giving you guys the update as you always get. Braden, we're going to hop right into this. NFL preseason is off and rolling. The Hall of Fame game took place last night. I don't know if you got a chance to watch or get any updates from that.
Yeah, I got to watch a little bit because I was at my friend's house, but I'm kind of surprised that the Bears won. That's my only thing.
The only thing I'm surprised about in this game is that Brett Rypien was the starter. And it looks like Davis Mills also was the starter for the Houston Texans, which I thought some of this stuff is really weird. You'd think that C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams would be the starters here, but, you know, things fared out the way they did. And
it's just they mostly do that to, like, try not to get them hurt before the real season.
Yeah, they all just kind of sat on the sideline and enjoyed the game.
They put in, like, some of their, like, second-string guys sometimes, but most of the time they try to play it safe.
I mean, the second-stringers played the whole game. Starters didn't play at all. But the Bears did come out on top 21-17 in what was a shortened game because storms came through and kind of canceled everything off where thunderstorms really ruined the night. But 21-17, Houston started the game hot, scoring the first touchdown, 7-0, took that lead into the second quarter. And then they were up 14-17 heading into the half after they scored 10 in the second, and Chicago was able to get two touchdowns. And then Chicago took the lead coming out of the break, going up 21-17 before the storms came through and kind of ended things.
Yeah.
What are your opinions on the Bears, with them being a divisional foe of your Detroit Lions? What are your opinion on the Bears and how they look in the Hall of Fame game?
They were pretty decent because I'm just scared for this season. It's going to be a good race. I'm hoping for the Lions to come out on top, but Bears and Packers is going to be a good division rival game.
So you think the Bears have a chance to kind of get their way back into being competitive in the NFC North?
Yeah. It's because they made moves and they got good draft picks. Obviously, the number one draft pick traded up last year, traded down last year, got the first pick for this year, which is pretty nice. And then they also picked up a wide receiver. I forgot his name.
No, they picked up a couple wide receivers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
picked up DeAndre Swift, too, from the Eagles.
Do you believe that they... So you believe in Caleb Williams and he's going to be really good?
Not really good, but I feel like he'll show out to give the Bears at least single-digit wins, maybe double digits.
You think double-digit wins in his first year? So you think he's going to be better than Justin Fields?
I think they're going to go like 7-10. That's my record, I'm pretty sure. Because they have a decent team, but...
What's your opinion on the Lions.
They're going to make it all the way, obviously.
All the way? What makes you think they're going to go all the way?
Well, coming last season, they made NFC Championship. So why couldn't they do it again? And then the only thing they needed coming into the draft was a cornerback, and they picked up the number one cornerback, Tyrion Arnold. So they did. I feel like they got a good draft pick, so.
Well, you do know the difference between last year and this year in terms of scheduling, right?
Yeah, their schedule, they got some hard people too. But they, starting off the season, they got the Rams, so.
The bigger thing is you have to, when you win the division, you have to play all of the division winners as well.
Yeah, it's.
So they're going to be playing tougher competition this year, which may mean more losses in the regular season, which could be both a good and a bad thing. I mean, as long as they make the playoffs, playing tougher competition during the year could be beneficial because they're more prepared to see them, or it could be a downfall to where they don't win enough games to get into the playoffs. And
yeah,
you're kind of looking at the old Lions, right?
Mm-hmm, because a long time ago, they made a playoff run. They didn't make it for the next 40 years or something like that.
Not necessarily that. They made the playoffs in time. They hadn't hosted a game in a long time. Any other opinions about the NFL and what's happening around the league?
Well, the new kickoff rule, it's just kind of cool to prevent injuries, which is more safe because you always want to be safe in the NFL. So it's kind of cool about that one.
Yeah, so for those that may not know, there are new rules surrounding the NFL kickoff. And I'm pulling those up right now as we are having this conversation. So the new kickoff rule is kickers will kick off from their own 35-yard line like normal. The only difference is the other 10 players from the kicking team will be on the opposing team's 40-yard line. The receiving team will have at least 9 players line up in the setup zone, which is in between the 35 and the 30. That is the area where those on the recovering team or the returning team are there to block. And then you may have one or two that are far back in the receiving zone who are there to catch the ball and begin the return. This is very similar to what we had saw in the XFL, the UFL, etc.
Yeah.
And it's meant, one, to keep things safer, but also not take away the big play ability, right? Like, if you think about it, if those setup zone guys on the receiving team are able to get solid blocks and the returner hits a hole, they're one-on-one with the punter. And that's most likely the kicker, and that's most likely a touchdown.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on the new kickoff rule and how it may benefit the Lions?
Well, it can help a lot of teams, not just the Lions, to get more yardage and start farther up the field instead of starting lower than the 25 or the 20.
Do you think there are any, like, you know, disadvantages to this? Do you think less teams will opt to return? Do you think less teams will, give opportunities for teams to return? Do you think you'll see more touchbacks, or do you think teams are more amped to try and return with this new model?
Yeah, with this new kickoff rule, I think more people will be greedy and try to get more yards, even though they can get automatic 25. But I feel like most people will start returning it more often than last season.
So you mentioned some things about the Lions and some moves they made in the offseason. How do you feel about the draft? How do you feel about some of their free agency? And they also had Ndamukong Suh here for a visit a couple days ago. How do you feel about him possibly coming back to the Lions?
I would like to see him come back, really, though, because I like him, kind of, so.
And what about the draft and some of free agency?
I liked how, well, and I'm also kind of, I don't even know, understand how the top cornerback that was in the draft was there still at like the 31st draft pick. So I'm so excited. I'm excited for that.
And Taylor Decker is going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
He has been reported to the team. So hopefully he's going to report to the referees as well. He signed a $60 million extension. Are you excited to have the big man back in town?
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited because he is a great offensive lineman. I'm pretty sure we had less sacks on him, so I'm excited. And it kind of seems like a cheap contract, but it kind of doesn't at the same time. So
the Lions kicker, Michael Badgley.
Oh.
He did, in fact, tear his hamstring.
Yeah.
Which means he's going to be out for the season. You do have another kicker on the roster.
I'm happy.
Do you know who it is?
I forgot his name, but he's from the UFL. He played for the Michigan Panthers, and he was a great kicker. I'm excited because he had a lot of far kicks. So wait, no, that's Riley Patterson. But he's from the UFL, and he played for the Michigan Panthers. So I'm very sad about Badgley, but I think we can make it with good season with our kicker.
So you were right. He had far kicks.
Yeah.
His name's Jake Bates.
Yeah.
But the bigger problem here is those far kicks only happened in Ford Field. And the bad thing about the NFL is you only play half your games at home. So if he can't kick in a facility that's not a dome, how can that affect the Lions? Are you concerned about the Lions losing a few games because they're in tight and you may miss a field goal earlier in the game or later in the game because he's not as good of a kicker in outdoor conditions?
That's true. That might give us a couple of losses just because of that, because he's used to kicking in that, like, dome kind of structure. So I think it might give us a few losses at the end of the season. So, yeah.
Well, Brayden's super hype and on the up and up about the Lions and is expecting them to have another great season and possibly win the Super Bowl. So, once again, when we have a chance to get him back in the studio the next time, we'll be touching on some more Lions and check in to see how he's feeling about those predictions. But we're just taking a break here before we head into talk about the MLB and what's going on in the baseball world. We'll be back soon with more Mid Madness on 95.3 WBC.
Responsible Energy.
We're back here on Mid Madness. Dejon Hughes joined by Brayden Fork. We're going to dive into some baseball. This is where Brayden becomes king. He knows so much more than me and Jacob do. So in just a second, I'm going to turn the reins over to him, let him dive deep into tons of baseball action happening around the country. And then I will chime in where I see fit. Brayden, go ahead, take it over. Let us know the biggest things happening around the diamond.
So one big trade that most people don't like was that Tigers traded Jack Flaherty to the Los Angeles Dodgers for first baseman Thyron Lizarnio. I'm pretty sure. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. And then for number 20th prospect, shortstop Trey Sweeney. And then the Miami Marlins traded away one of their two best players. First, they traded Jazz Chisholm to the Yankees, and they traded Brian De La Cruz to And then they traded Gregory Soto to the Orioles for a number 10th prospect right-handed pitcher, and that was to the Phillies. And then Mark Canha to the Giants for Eric Silva. So, and those are most of the trades that I thought were the best.
So, tell me more about the Jack Flaherty trade and how you feel about it.
Well, I don't feel that good because I like the trade. I like the shortstop and all that stuff. But Jack Flaherty was actually a good player. So, I think I don't really think it was that fair of a trade. So, I just didn't really like that trade, kind of. I think they shouldn't have traded him away.
Okay, but my question is, yes, Jack Flaherty is a good player. Do you know how long his contract was for?
I'm pretty sure he had like a couple more years left.
He did not.
Oh, that was...
He was going to be a free agent at the end of the season. Do you believe Jack Flaherty would have re-signed with the Tigers at the end of the season?
No. I think he would want to go somewhere else. I think... Not saying the Tigers are bad, but I think he would want to be on a better team.
So knowing that information now, do you think it was a good idea the Tigers traded Jack Flaherty?
Now that I'm hearing that, kind of.
Right?
Would you rather get some players or just release them for nothing?
Exactly. We've been talking about that for a couple weeks now on Mid Madness here. Is we wanted Jack Flaherty to get traded, not because he was a bad player and not because we didn't want him in Detroit, but we understood he was having a career year and was a free agent at the end of the season. So it's either let this guy have a career year all season with the Tigers and then go somewhere else and lose him for free, where some team gets better and probably wins a World Series because he's in their pitching rotation, or do we trade him now, go and get something that's going to help our bats, which is the real problem in Detroit, is we can't hit a ball to save our lives.
Yeah.
Our pitching seems to be okay because we still have Tarik Skubal, who should win the AL Cy Young. So,
and we have two of the best pitchers down in the minors, Jackson Jobe and Ty Madden. So even if we get some injuries, which we do, we'll just next season or the season after that, we're going to have good pitchers.
We know that the pitching is good in Detroit. Tell us a little bit more about the batting and what's going on there. Javi Baez kind of finally warming up a little bit, having some homers in the last couple of games.
Yeah,
he's been getting some help as well, but tell us some more about the bats and what's going on there.
Well, like you said, it doesn't really seem like they can hit, but because they've been putting up, I think they put up like 4 runs in the last 2 games, I'm thinking, because they just need to get some bats, because their only good bats, Max Clark is probably, he's literally in like single A, though. Like, we need some better bats. I think we should have traded for some more bats instead of like prospects, because we can't wait. We need them now.
Well, you also have to remember, right, like how much money do the Tigers have? And also, it's appeal. It's much harder to get people to come to Detroit right now. I mean, the yeah. Lions getting better definitely helps. And if the Red Wings continue to get better, that's going to help as well. But it's hard getting people in Detroit. And if you don't have the money to compete with a Texas Rangers, a Boston Red Sox, Los Angeles Dodgers, New York Yankees, Philadelphia Phillies, yeah, you're in trouble, you know, and that's kind of the situation the Tigers are in. Speaking of the Rangers, they went for a trade as well with the Tigers. They're picking up Andrew Chafin, a left-handed relief pitcher that was formerly here with the Tigers. He's 34, so he's been around and he's been in some, you know, some playoff games. And well, the Rangers are just 3.5 games out of the American League West lead. They're bringing in Chafin, who has a 3.16 ERA in 41 appearances this year. But I think some of that is due to the fielding and the batting that's coming behind him.
Mm-hmm.
In return, the Tigers get right-handed pitchers Joseph Montavo and Chase Lee.
Yeah.
Are you excited about some young pitching going to be coming in as well, even though, you know, there's some kind of stacked in the minor leagues for the Tigers?
Yeah, it's a yes and a no, because obviously, like you said, we have people in the minors. It's just more helpful to get some quick, decent players up in the majors so we can get a few wins here and there. So,
yeah, and I mean, I think the bigger thing is, right, when you look at Flaherty, he's had some up and down years, but this year was really good. So the best you could kind of get for him at the moment was a prospect. And with Chafin being so old, you're not really going to get a ton there either.
Because would you rather have him for like a couple more years or trade him away for some better stuff? That like younger people.
Yeah, and that's kind of where the Tigers are going. They're heading in a direction to be a younger team.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to allow them to kind of compete with some more of the young talent around the league, but also open up some room in their, you know, their checkbook. I think that's a bigger thing, is they had some high profile players that were taking up quite a bit of cash, and it's really hard in the MLB if you don't have expendable cash to go out and get other players. So I think some of these moves are simply some checkbook freeings, kind of like what you see in the NBA or the NFL, where guys will be released or they'll get traded to a team and like the team won't really accept the same caliber players back. It's because they're trying to offload some money and then make an attempt for someone later on. Is there anybody you might be eyeing in free agency for the Tigers to go after maybe at the end of the season?
Not really, because I haven't checked it out right now, but I would like to pick up either a shortstop to release Javi or like an outfielder, because Kerry Carpenter, and we're bringing up Akil Baddoo, who's like, meh, he's been up and down in the minors and the majors. So that's who I would want.
Well, Kerry Carpenter's been injured. Do you think he's going to return back to, you know, his old form when he does come back from injury? Or are you kind of looking to move on because you're not 100% sure what's going to happen upon his return?
That's a good question, but because by the time he comes back, it's probably going to be the end of the season. So we won't even get to see how good he is. So I would just replace him right now. Next season, if he's good, we'll play him more. It's just we can't be for sure because he's on the 60-day IL right now. So
the Rangers also got backup catcher Carson Kelly from the Tigers in exchange for two AA players, Liam Hicks and Tyler Owens. Hicks is a 25-year-old catcher who played 80 games for AA Frisco this season. Batted .260, four homers, 33 RBIs.
That's nice.
Owens is a 23-year-old right-hander who was also with Frisco. He went 2-0 with a 2.80 ERA across 26 relief appearances. So there's that relief pitcher in Chafin that they let go, coming back in Owens. Hicks and Owens are yet to appear in a big league game, so we're not sure if they will play directly for the Tigers or not. What's your opinion on kind of letting Carson Kelly go, and do you think Liam Hicks or Tyler Owens will crack the Tigers roster at any point?
Well, Carson Kelly getting traded away, it was kind of a spotlight for Dylan Dingler to get called up, and in his first major league game, he got a double for his first career hit. I was pretty excited to watch, so I think they released him on purpose because Dylan Dingler was ready to come up. And I'm excited for the relievers because the things that we need are them, because Alex Lang's injured, won't be back for a long time. So I feel like as soon as they start making their roles up to the majors, they'll be a good players.
For some reason, people are saying the Tigers should trade Tarik Skubal to either the Milwaukee Brewers or the Baltimore Orioles. I think that's an awful decision, considering that Tarik Skubal is most likely going to win the AL Cy Young and has been absolutely fantastic this year. Tell us your thoughts on Tarik Skubal and what you think the Tigers should do with him.
I love him. He's my favorite pitcher, but if you trade with Baltimore, they were saying trading Jackson Holliday with another top 10 prospect. So it's a fair trade, and we need shortstop players. But like you said, he's winning the Cy Young. He's probably the best pitcher in the AL. So it's a hard decision, but I would choose to keep him.
I'm on the side of keeping Tarik Skubal. I think that if you kind of build your bullpen around Tarik Skubal and you go out and get a couple hitters, you have some young prospects, I think you can make things work and kind of get back to the Tigers we remember, you know, ones that at least were in the wild card race or in the playoffs. May not have won a Super Bowl or a World Series in a while, but at least were competitive. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of Tarik Skubal is the starting point of that. And a lot of people are missing out on, you know, how good of a player Tarik Skubal really is. But we still, I don't know kind of my opinion on the Tigers and where the season is headed.
Yeah.
They're in the middle of a series right now with the Royals. They got smoked last night, 7-1. Do you think they can come back to win the series?
Yeah. Tarik Skubal's on the mound tonight. I think that's because Tarik Skubal's 12-3. And the Royals got Ragnans, which is 7-7 with a 3.37 ERA. So I think we'll get that one. And then tomorrow.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll dive deep into this series, let you dissect it and talk about if the Tigers can come out on top or not. We're going to be back with more Midden Madness on 95.3.
Detroit sports fans, Wolverines and Spartans alike, this is your sports show, Midden Madness, with Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes on 95.3 WBCK.
And we are back on 95.3 WBCK with Midden Madness, Dejon Hughes, Braden Fork. We are jumping into the Tigers series this weekend, or I guess right now, as they're taking on the Kansas City Royals. This series started Thursday and will go through to Sunday. And if I am correct, I believe the Tigers have another series this upcoming week. Let me get to that in just a second. That one will start on Tuesday against the Mariners. That will be a three-game series before they head into another series with the Giants on the following weekend. Braden, talk us through what's going to happen over the next couple of days. As a reminder, this is airing on Saturday, so talk to us about today and what's going to happen with the bullpen situation. Talk to us about last night and Tarik Skubal, and then talk to us about tomorrow and how the series will wrap up.
Well, yesterday was Kader Monterio. He let a three-run shot in the first inning, which kind of ended it. Didn't score until the fourth. Then they just decided to tack on, the Royals decided to tack on runs in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. So that was just an easy win for them. But today I'm excited because Tarik Skubal is going to be on the mound, which he's 12-3, which is a good record. And who the Royals have on the mound, Ragnans has a 7-7 record with 3.37 ERA. So I think we're going to take that one easily. And then coming into the next day, Michael Lorenzen, former Tiger, is going to be facing off the Tigers tomorrow at 6:10, and tomorrow's going to be a bullpen day, so usually they can go either way, bad and good, so you just hope it will go good. And then the next game on Sunday will be another bullpen day, but for the starter for Kansas City is 7-6, and his ERA is 3.65, so that will be a close one, and that is a day game, 1:40.
So with all the information you just gave us about pitching, with you know, the newfound energy in the bats of the Tigers the last couple of weeks, do you think they're able to bounce back from the 7-1 loss that they had Thursday night? And are they able to win three in a row and maybe even two to tie up the series? How do you think things play out tomorrow night on Sunday? And how does the series end in terms of numbers?
Well, I think the bats, the Tigers, are less scared because they know that they got Tarik on the mound. You don't, not trying to jinx it or anything, but Tarik has a great ERA and WHIP. Like, so they feel a little bit more comfortable while they're batting. They don't need to like put up seven runs every game. With Tarik on the mound, you only got to put up two or three to win. So I think we will win that one. Coming into tomorrow though, got Michael Lorenzen. I think we will lose that one, even though, because bullpen days can go either way, but I think that day will go bad. But coming in the next day, August 4th, Sunday, we're going to win that one because pitchers allowing more than three runs. So, but I'm just hoping our bullpen can get the stuff done. Just so you know, that is a day game. And then coming into the Mariners, I think we're going to lose a series 2-3. Wait, 3-1, We're still going to win one, though.
Which game it is that you think we'll win?
Tarik.
Which is
today.
No, the Mariners series.
Oh, Mariners? I think we will... One second.
They play Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Tuesday, they got Luis Castillo, who was good. Now he's not, so I think we're going to take that one. It's going to be a late one, 9:40. I might be in bed. And then Wednesday, another night game. We're going to have Kenter Monterio, but they got George Kirby, who's also has a 3.04 ERA, but Kader Monterio has a 6 ERA, 1-4. I think Kader's going to come up big in that one, so we're going to win that one. And then final game of the series, Tarik, obviously we're going to win that one. And their pitcher on the mound. Well, actually it might be close because they got B. Wu. He has he's 4-1 with a 2.35 ERA. The same ERA that Tarik Skubal has. So that's going to be a good game.
So you think the Tigers are going to come out on top of the Mariners in the series 2-1?
Yes.
On the road. And then they're heading the following weekend into another road series as they're on a road trip right now. San Francisco, California at Oracle Park taking on the San Francisco Giants, who are very on par, 54-56 on the year at this current moment. The Tigers are 52-58. Their pitchers are not anything special. You know, Webb is 8-8. Ray is 1-1. And they haven't even decided who's going to start their Friday game. Do you think the Tigers are able to pull off two series wins in a row to put them back into a favorable spot in the AL Central?
That's a good question. Both teams are pretty close in records, so I really can't decide, but I know that series will be close, but hoping the Tigers will come up top.
And, I mean, enough of the Tigers, right? We've talked about them enough. There is one team that's playing very well in baseball right now, and that is the Philadelphia Phillies. They're the best team in baseball right now.
Yep.
They were the first team to 60 wins. They're currently sitting at 65-43. Their series this weekend is against the Mariners.
Yep.
Do you think that if the Mariners are able to beat the Phillies, they come in a little too high and that gives the Tigers extra momentum? Or do you looking for the Phillies to continue their strong momentum and beat the Mariners, and then the Mariners are kind of on a downtrot, which is where the Tigers get to slide in and take control?
Yep, that's exactly what I'm hoping. Phillies are, like you said, first to 60 wins. They're probably going to destroy them in the series, probably going to win it. So as they're coming in, not feeling too well coming into the Tigers, thinking they can beat us, even though they just came off a loss, so I think they're going to lose that series.
And then another series the Phillies have coming up might be one of the best series in all of baseball all season. They're going to be taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the best teams in baseball, one of the most prolific teams in baseball, and the Phillies have been absolutely slamming. Do you think the Dodgers have enough to slow them down, or will the Phillies continue to cruise?
That's a good question, but I'm pretty sure is that what day is that? August 6th? Because I don't think Mookie will be back on that by that time. So if they don't have one of their star players.
Yeah, the series starts on August 5th.
Yeah, so Phillies are going to win. Without one of their star players, because if they don't have one of their hottest hitters and hottest fielders, I feel like it will be a very good series, but I feel like the Phillies will come on top.
Yeah. Nola will take on Glasnow in their first matchup. In the second matchup, that will be Sanchez versus Kershaw, hasn't had much time on the mound this year.
His last start wasn't that good, so.
And then the last matchup of that series will be Phillips versus Stone. Well, let me check, make sure that's not a four-game series. It is not. That was the last game of the series before the Phillies head off to Arizona, as they're on a road trip on the West Coast as well. That's going to be a really good series.
I know. I probably might want to watch that because they're literally two games behind each other. Phillies at the top of the NL. Dodgers are right there in second in the AL. I mean, NL. So I would love to see them in, like, the divisional round in the playoffs and see who wins, because you never know. Like I said, in the playoffs, all you need is healthy players and you can win.
Thank you for all of your baseball expertise, because tell me, it was well needed if you ask me, because me and Jacob just don't know enough. Thanks for everybody for hanging out for all of that. We're going to be diving into the best part of the show coming up. We're getting into the picks for the weekend. I know Jacob isn't here, but you know I got his picks. We're going to get Brayden's and mine, and then we're off into the weekend. We're going to be back with Mid-Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
95.3 WBCK.
Madness on 95.3 WBCK. It is the best part of the show. Brayden Forks standing in for Jacob Harrison. Dejon Hughes here. We are about to get into the picks. Don't worry. I did, in fact, get Jacob's picks as well. But to be transparent with you all, we did make a mistake. The WNBA games we picked are for the weekend of August 15th. So those will be sitting there until we get around to there. But last week we went 1-2 for the games that were available to pick, which has us sitting at. Jacob is 85 and 55 on the year. I am coming in at 86 and 84. So Jacob might be owing me a little something soon, but we're getting into it this week. We do have Braden stepping in on the picks for the first time. We're going to jump right into the best part of this whole thing. We're doing baseball, and we're doing tons of it. The first series up on the map is one we just talked about a little bit ago. This one happening in Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, California. Three-game series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies. This one starts, I believe, Monday night. Yes, Monday night. Aaron Nola will take on Tyler Glasnow in the first matchup. Nola's 11-4. Glasnow is 8-6. Glasnow 3.50 ERA. Aaron Nola right in front of him with 3.43. The Phillies are 27-22 on the road. The Dodgers are 34-20 at home in game two of this series. Sanchez will take on Kershaw. Sanchez is 7-7, 3.36 ERA. Kershaw 0-1 with a 5.87 ERA as he tries to bounce back from his injury and time off. And last game of the series is, these are all 10:10 p.m. on MLB Network. Phillips for the Phillies, 3-0 with a 1.80 ERA against Stone for the Dodgers, who's 9-4 with a 3.34 ERA. Do the Phillies continue rolling through the MLB, or are the Dodgers going to stop them in the tracks?
Like I said, if they don't stay healthy, because Mookie's not going to be back, I know it will be a great series, but I know that the Phillies are going to come up top.
Jacob is in line with you as well for the Phils, and you may not know this, but I have a little bit of Philly in me, and it's like a second home. So, of course, I'm rocking with the Dodgers. Citizen Bank Park, they should do watch-alongs at CPB. It is a fantastic place to be. I think they're one of the best teams in baseball and will absolutely continue rolling along. Another series that's going to be taking place during this same time is the Red Sox and the Royals, another two teams that are doing very well in the MLB. The Royals will be hosting at Kauffman Stadium, Kansas City, Missouri. The Royals are 61-49 on the year, 36-22 at home. Red Sox right behind them, 57-50, 30-22 on the road. This is an 8:10 p.m. start for the first game. Paxton for Boston, 8-3 with a 4.52 ERA. Singer, 8-6 with a 2.88 ERA. On Tuesday, the Red Sox again, 8:10 p.m. in Kauffman Stadium. Red Sox putting out Bello, who's 10-5, 5.13 ERA. The Royals putting out Lugo, 13-5, 2.57 ERA. And the last game of the series coming through on Wednesday, once again, Kauffman Stadium, 8:10 p.m. Crawford going out for the Red Sox, 6-8, 3.60 ERA. Royals putting out Reagans, who's 7-7, 3.37 ERA. Do the Red Sox have enough to take out the Royals, or will the Royals push their lead out a little farther?
So, I know who's going to win this. It's the Royals, but I really need them to lose, so I'm rooting for the Red Sox.
Jacob has good feelings in the Red Sox, and, well, that means the three of us are picking the same, because I also agree. I'm rocking with the Red Sox, but my thing is the Red Sox play their best ball of the year after the All-Star break. They're one of those teams that understand that the regular season matters to an extent, but truly, we just have to get into the playoffs, because as long as we're playing good baseball then, we're in good shape. So I don't expect too many series losses for the Red Sox post All-Star break. Our last baseball series for the week is going to be one that is for the ages. 8:05 p.m. Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. The Texas teams are battling. The Houston Astros, who are 56-52, 25-28 on the road, take on the Rangers, 52-57, who are 29-23 at home. Brown stepping on the mound in the game one for the Houston, 9-7, 4.11 ERA. Haney stepping on for the Rangers. 4-11, 4-1-2 ERA. On Wednesday, this game's moved up to 2:35 p.m., still in Arlington, Texas, Globe Life Field. Valdez for Houston is going to be 10-5, 3.56 ERA, and the Rangers are undecided on who will be stepping on the mound for that game. Or, excuse me, that's the third game of that series. So the first game is going to be back on Monday, and the Astros are undecided on who will be on the mound for them. But Scherzer will be on the mound for the Rangers. He's 2-4, 3.89 ERA. Do the Rangers have enough, or will the Astros continue their winning ways?
I know they won it 2 years ago, but they haven't been able to get back on that track. Rangers obviously putting out Max Scherzer. They got Marcus Semien, Corey Seager. I'm hoping for the Rangers to come on top.
I think I'm going to have to go with the Rangers here as well. And my thing here is they're the home team. They're 29-23 at home, which means they're doing well when they're hosting. And the Astros are not a great road team. And like you said, they've struggled a little bit recently. So I think the Rangers are going to be able to take care of things at home. Now it's time for us to head on over to Saturday, and Saturday only. Later today, UFC Fight Night going down. The main event is going to be Corey Sandhagen against Umar Nurmagomedov. And this one is full of great fights. I'm just going to peruse through this card a little bit. And, I mean, the main card is insane. Joel Alvarez taking off against Elvis Brenner. Mackenzie Dern going against Lupe Godinez. Tony Ferguson and Michael Chiesa. Marlon Vera and Davison Figueiredo. Shara Magomedov versus Michael Oleksijczyk. And Corey Sandhagen and Umar Nurmagomedov. One of the best cards we've seen all year. Let's dive into it. We'll start with Mackenzie Dern and Lupe Godinez. This is a women's strawweight event. 5'4 for Mackenzie Dern in height. Just 5'2 for Godinez. They're both standing at about 115 pounds. Mackenzie Dern is 1 year older. She does have a 2-inch reach advantage, 63-61, but they both fight orthodox. Do you think Mackenzie Dern can continue her winning ways at 13-5, or is Lupe Godinez at 12-4 going to remain confident?
Lupe Godinez is going to come on top.
You and Jacob are both going with Godinez, but to me, there is something about experience, especially when the ages are close. But the height and the reach advantage here mean a lot for me in terms of not only fighting style, but also being down on the ground. I think Dern has a true advantage here. So I'm going to go with Dern and be on the switch up here. Next fight, this one's going to be another blockbuster event. Shara Magomedov against Michael Oleksijczyk. He's Polish, which is why I can't say his last name. Magomedov stands 6'2". While Michael is 6 foot, they're both 185 pounds. Magomedov 30 to Michael 29. Michael does have a 1-inch reach advantage, 74-73. Magomedov is orthodox, while Michael is southpaw. Michael's 19-8 record with a +210 on the cards for betting, while Magomedov -260 as the favorite with a 13-0 record. Does Magomedov stay perfect or not?
Magomedov stays perfect. I would just want him to continue to go undefeated.
The thing about this fight is Michael is insane. He's 19-8 for a reason. He's a big guy. This is a middleweight fight, and he brings it every time he's out there. He doesn't mind being down on the ground, but he would prefer to be a stand-up fighter, and that fits right into Magomedov's kind of fight style. He also prefers to be a stand-up fighter, but the difference between these two is Magomedov is training with one of the best fighters to ever fight, Khabib Nurmagomedov. So until we can find somebody who can stop Khabib, we're probably not going to find somebody who can stop Magomedov or anybody else in that training circuit. So I'm going to go with Mago as well, giving us all three the same because Jacob agrees. Last fight, main event, Corey Sandhagen versus Umar Nurmagomedov. Sandhagen 17-4, +270 as the underdog. 5'11 in the height, 140 on the weight, 32 in the age, 70 on the reach, and he is a switch stance fighter. Nurmagomedov 17-0, 5'8, so giving up 3 inches in the height, 136, giving up 4 pounds in the weight division. 69 in the reach, giving up an inch there, and he's only 28, so he gives up 4 years in age. Can Nurmagomedov stay perfect and overcome all those disadvantages, or do we think Corey Sandhagen will use his expertise to add another win to his total?
Corey Sandhagen will definitely get him because, yeah, like you said.
This one for me is a little bit tougher. Sandhagen does have the experience. He's got the height. He's got the reach. He's got the age. He can switch fight. There's a lot of good things that he has here. But the difference that I'm seeing here is, you know, Nurmagomedov is a little bit better on the ground. So if this goes to the ground, it's probably going to be well in the advantages of Nurmagomedov. Even if it stays off the ground, he's a pretty solid fighter up top. His significant strike accuracy and you know, punches landed are not too far behind Sandhagen. He's a little bit younger, which may bode in, you know, the endurance factor of this. So I think I'm going to go with Nurmagomedov, which is who Jacob has as well. So running back, what's popping for the picks this week? All three of us have the Phillies. All three of us have the Red Sox. All three of us have the Rangers. All three of us have Magomedov over Michael. You have Corey Sandhagen. We're both going to take Nurmagomedov. You two have Godinez, and I'm going to take Dern. You can listen to us on Midden Madness. As always, the replay will be tonight at 9 p.m. You can find us on the WBCK app at any time as well, whenever you want to listen. We'll have football coming back soon as well. And, of course, Coach's Corner and everything else that's amazing about BCK. Don't forget to catch Community Matters at 8 a.m. on Saturdays as well. We're getting out of here. Thank you again to Braden for stepping in. We'll be back next week with more Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
Join Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to play it back? Stream Mitten Madness live or on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app.